Alexis Tiriano, I think I saw your at least your name shield someplace.
Yes. Hello. I'm
Hi.
Here.
How are you doing? Hello. You're from Cyprus, right?
Yeah, Cyprus. Uh-huh. Exactly. We would obviously. This is the first time I'm taking part in these in this investigative meetings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'd like to know how each country will coordinate so that we could help each other out. If you'd like, I can give you like a quick review of the situation in Cyprus. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I want to ask you first, because yes. There have been rumors about how there is a big PCR test complaint that was filed. Is that true? And then dismissed. Is that true, or is there nothing to it?
I haven't heard anything okay. about that. If you have more details about it,
No, I'm sure you know much better what's going on in Cyprus than I do. This must be a rumor, because there's lots of rumors going around. One of them included myself and 1,000 lawyers filing a complaint. Well, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Okay, so we are actually, as a country, in response to this situation, we're actually lagging behind. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly because not many lawyers and doctors are available who are either awake enough to know what's going on or who are even on the same page with us. And so that's why we're lagging a little bit behind. So... a few of us have to do everything. We are a team of lawyers and doctors. I think one of my colleagues is already in contact with you, Mr. Yanos Georgiadis. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking this in, we have civil proceedings coming up shortly. So we filed a case last week for the parents and their children who don't want to do PCR or rapid antigen tests mm-hmm. As a prerequisite so that they can go to school. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. yeah, so every week children have to, the students and pupils have to do tests to go to school. And 67 parents have actually filed a lawsuit against the health ministry because one of our grounds of action is the illegality of the measures. So we haven't even gone into whether they're constitutional or not. Obviously, we believe that they are unconstitutional because we agree this whole thing is the biggest scam mm-hmm. ever mm-hmm. in the history of the planet. So we're first going on the illegality of the measures because basically the health minister is just passing on decrees and they never go through parliament. So it's basically rule by decree. That's what we have.
Just like everywhere in the world. Everywhere. It's always the same story. Lockstep
well, I'm not
approach.
Sure. I'm not sure. I think that the UK has an actual law that... They passed through Parliament a year ago.
Really? We now also have a law, but it used to be like this with bylaws.
Yeah, it used to be an omnipotent government that could rule by decree. Yeah. Same in the United States. Many of the governors were simply reined in by some of the Supreme Courts in Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania and Supreme Court, but a district court in California, telling them you can have emergency measures, but only for a certain period of time. And then you have to involve the parliament.
Yeah. Cyprus wasn't actually declared in a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. There may have been legal problems in doing that because we're also split with the in two. We have the Turkish Cypriot side and the Greek Cypriot side. So there might have been some legal constitutional problems with declaring us in a state of emergency. So they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you have to go through the parliament since we're not in a state of emergency. And they never did that. So what we're trying to do now is get a court to decide that they're illegal. There has been no response, obviously, from the governments in about 1.5 months that we've been telling everyone that these are not legal. There's been no response from anyone. So obviously because they know that they're illegal. So we're now expecting a decision, hopefully next week, by the district court, maybe 2 weeks. I don't know how long the court will delay it. And also, very recently, about 3-4 days ago, we had this new decree, which is about they called it the Corona Pass first. It's like the green pass that's going around Europe now. Now they called it Safe Pass because Corona Pass couldn't be used because there's a conflict with the name from the Microsoft app. Something like that. Yeah. So with the Corona Pass, you have to provide this pass, which you have to be either vaccinated or have had a PCR within 72 hours of you going to a restaurant or any retail shop. The only exceptions are supermarkets, grocery stores, and hairdressers. That's the only exceptions where you don't need the Corona Pass. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to file an urgent civil action in the court next week. There's been so much resistance from people and from businesses alike to this to this decree that they've now pulled back within 3-4 days, and they said that now they're going to allow at least people to be in outdoor spaces without having a Corona Pass. Mm-hmm. So they're going to cancel this decree within 5 days of implementing it and doing another one. So thankfully we haven't been able to lodge this civil case yet. So we'll wait for the new decree to come out probably on Monday and then challenge that decree a couple of days later. And with this, we can actually ask for a decision within 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. And let's hope for the best. So there's many people that are interested in going on these mass when there's many people on one action anyway, class action.
Yeah.
We don't actually call it that, but it's like a class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. There's many people who are interested right now to go on these lawsuits. And so we're hoping for the best in that sense. We also have been resisting in like taking defensive legal action as well. So when somebody does something which is against these decrees, obviously you could get fined by the police. And then if you don't pay the fine, you get taken to the criminal court. Mm-hmm. So in the criminal court, we've had a couple of, I would say like good news. We've been trying to get a decision from the criminal courts as well. Because the first defense that we have is that these measures are illegal and they're unconstitutional. So we want to submit our legal submissions on on why we think they're illegal and unconstitutional. But at the last minute, imagine this, there was a case that was filed 5 months ago in January against a person who was just out at a protest and telling people to go to a protest, right? Protests are now illegal as well, of course. So if that's not a reason to protest, that protests are illegal,
yeah.
I don't know what is. So 5 months ago, they filed a case against him, a criminal case, urgently. And as soon as his legal representation was ready to file their submissions on why the measures are illegal and unconstitutional, the Attorney General decided to withdraw the case. Hmm. Because they didn't want to give the court the chance to make a decision.
Ah, are they afraid that the court is independent?
No, they're afraid that the illegality is such a straight argument. That we have here. There's no argument against it.
Uh-huh.
So if a court actually decides against it, then it's going to show, it's going to be exposed like there's a real problem with justice in this country.
That's important. That's important because that's what's happening here too. That's why many people think even if you go to court, if you file a complaint, you are either going to win. We're, of course, basing most of the stuff that we're doing on the PCR tests. But you're either going to win on a factual basis because all the experts agree now, even the WHO agrees that the PCR test can't tell you anything about infections. But if you don't win, because they're not going to hear any witnesses or because they're trying to reschedule this case so that it's going to be tried sometime in 2 years or so, that's when the courts and the judicial systems unmask themselves. So that's why it's a win-win. Either you win because you're winning on the basis of facts, or you lose and thereby you really unleash probably a storm, if not a revolution. Yeah. And that's probably true. That's why this happened. That's why he withdrew the case.
Yeah, exactly. And now we could actually use this in a way to promote. Not that I can't really say this. I don't know if this meeting is actually private or if it's been shown live.
No, it's live streamed.
Mm. So you should not give away your strategy.
Mm. Don't give away your strategy.
Mm. It's not about that, but. But now it's like so obvious because we've had a second case yesterday that was not withdrawn but postponed by the attorney because they have these orders from the attorney general to postpone everything. Whenever there is a challenge on the legality of the measures, they always postpone.
The legality of the measures is based on the fact that this is ruling by decree.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. Mm-hmm.
They never went through Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're waiting for the new Parliament to come in because we have elections on the 30th of May.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're waiting for the new Parliament to see if the new Parliament will actually vote and make these measures legal, in which case they can't do that retrospectively, but they can at least make whatever measures come after this legal if they pass them through the Parliament. However, in that case, we're going to have to go for the main argument, which is let's go on the attack and attack the PCR test with a lawsuit again, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to, basically all we need is just to get our evidence to the court, you know, and expert witnesses to the court so that they can see that there is a whole other story here that's not been shown by the mainstream media. We've gathered loads of evidence from years before, for example, in November 2018 and November 2019, there was 450 deaths every November from all causes. Then you've got about 55 or 10% of those which were from breathing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So respiratory conditions. So then you've got COVID-19 deaths in 2020, which were just 23. So every year you've got 50 or 55 deaths in November from respiratory infections or causes, and then you've got 23 COVID deaths in November 2020, which just shows you that the mainstream media is just not showing the numbers. Everything is COVID right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of misleading of the public. Obviously, this has been orchestrated, and it remains to be seen whether the governments knew what is going on or whether they are actually just following orders from World Health Organization or the ECDC and all the other organizations. So with all this information that we had about the misleading the public, we also filed a report to the police. Of course, the police, they're going to be cooperating with the government, so they're not going to be so eager to investigate our case. But we filed a 37-page report on the mainstream media misleading the public, and on the health minister not, or the government in general, not doing their job properly. And actually, when they when you're not running your country as it should, it's actually a criminal offense as well, because a public servant has a duty to run the country in a fair and legal way. If they do something that is misleading, then that's obviously open to criminal offenses as well. So the report has been filed. It's been two and a half months since it has been filed with the police. Nothing has happened because they obviously don't want to investigate. And now we've taken them to the administrative court so that the their negligence to attend to this case will actually be stopped. So let's hope that we have a result with that at some point soon. Then we've got another thing which I'm planning to lodge very, very soon. It's going to be another complaint to the police. In Cyprus, we have to go to the police first before we can file a private criminal proceeding. So first we have to report to the police, and if they don't do anything, then we go privately as a private criminal case. So we're going to do it using the Oviedo Convention, which states that you can't force anyone to, or you can't force or coerce anyone to do a medical intervention on their body without their free and informed consent. So the decrees by the minister, which is telling us that in order to go to work, you need to do a PCR test or a rapid test, that is coercion. That is definitely not doing it with your free will. So depending on which country you are, in Cyprus, luckily enough, when this convention was ratified into law, they actually made it into criminal offenses if you violate this law.
And now all of a sudden you have the government violating this law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're coercing us into doing, and also when a child has to go to school, his parent has to give consent so that the child will do a test in order to go to school. That's also coercion, and definitely not free and informed consent. They've also not been answering any of our letters that we've been writing to them. The health ministry just doesn't answer anything. It's almost like it's closed shop.
Yeah, but this is this again is a strategy. This is a strategy that is applied all over the world. We just heard this from Ellie Dillman from Australia. And we have the same thing here. We're experiencing the same thing because we either get no answers or just form letters, boilerplate language.
Yes. So sorry about that. I just had to do the lighting here. So yeah, that's pretty much what we have in Cyprus at the moment. There's a lot going on. How else can we help in what's going on?
What's the vaccination situation like?
So there is 40% of the population have been vaccinated, according to the reports from the government. So now they're talking about the third dose that's going to be required for the Pfizer vaccine.
A third dose. Oh,
yeah.
Well, then there's probably going to be a fourth, fifth, and sixth dose very soon. I mean, people must understand that there's something seriously wrong here.
And what's going to happen with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, where they said it's only going to be one dose? Mm-hmm. And most people are choosing to do that one based on that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be only one dose. What happens when they tell them, no, you're going to need a second dose?
Yeah. Well, it's a matter of time until more people than we have right now are going to rise up. simply because they're angry and they're fed up with this.
Yeah. So this is what I agree with what you and Michael were saying before, that it's going to take not just a legal effort, but it's going to have to happen in a way that the tide is going to turn in our favor at some point.
Yes.
I don't know what role the vaccinations are going to play in all this, because there's going to be a lot of deaths, I suspect.
Yeah, us too.
From the vaccinations.
Well, you know, the thing is, we think that, in my view, the most important argument is, because we want to attack at the foundation of this, is that the Drosten test is a lie, and that the notion of asymptomatic infections is a lie. But as far as the so-called vaccinations are concerned, they are important because something has gotten out of hand. Something went wrong. This is not part of the plan, we don't think. The fact that there's so many adverse reactions. Like we heard just this morning in another, I think it's an article that I quoted a part of, we read that 20% of the population in the nursing homes died after vaccination. 20%, that's a lot. And this is not special for Germany. It's happening all over the world. Except that in most countries, the actual reports, the official reports, are probably fake. They're trying to keep the numbers low. But if that is true, then this is not something that they had planned for. In my view, what they had planned is to get people vaccinated, not have any side effects, and hoping to get through until the winter and the fall season. And then by claiming that, oh my God, people are getting seriously ill, and at the same time hoping that the majority of the population will have forgotten about the vaccinations in the winter and in the spring, they would then have convinced us, or tried to convince us, to get another a second or third or fourth shot. Now, something went wrong. All of a sudden, people are alarmed, and many people do not want to get vaccinated anymore. Like we heard from our friend Leslie Manukian from the United States, a little less than 30% of the population got vaccinated, and all of a sudden, this whole thing dried up. Interest in vaccinations is completely gone. All of the vaccination centers are empty. So I think, if only half of what Professor Bhakti and Dr. Vodak and Dolores Cahill, Mike Yeadon predicted, if only half of these adverse reactions, and I'm not talking about the ones that happened now, I'm talking about the ones that happen once the people who got vaccinated run into the actual virus, into the cold, the common cold virus or the flu. If only half of what they predicted is true, then we may have 40% of the population, of the world's population, that has gotten vaccinated, and maybe 20% who suffer serious adverse effects. Well, if that happens, the system is going to break down. It's going to collapse.
Yeah.
But that's almost inevitable if that happens.
The thing is, will we know about it, though? Because I'm sure in all countries it was the same, mm-hmm. that they were only reporting every death as a COVID death.
Yeah.
So now they have actually, they reported a couple of cases that died with a history of vaccination. Mm-hmm. That's how they reported it. But then because people started getting concerned, mm-hmm. they now said that they're going to use the excuse of personal data, protection of personal data of dead people.
Yeah.
Basically. So that they won't announce if somebody has a history of vaccination. So basically, yeah, they don't want us to know that the deaths are coming from the vaccines themselves.
But you know, Alexis, people are not that stupid. I mean, I agree. People are pretty stupid, but they're not that stupid. This has woken a lot of people up, because this is disturbing. I mean, 20% of the population in the nursing homes dying after vaccination. It's kind of hard to explain that away by telling the people that they're dying of some cause that cannot be disclosed because of personal data protection. Nah, they're not going to buy that, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, we've had one report from now they're trying to cover themselves as well with the way that they communicate publicly. Mm-hmm. So we've had one of the person on the team of health experts from the government say that there's a chance that 5 to 10% of people who will be vaccinated will not respond to the vaccine and might die.
So, oh my God.
Yes. So when you think about that, imagine if they vaccinate 60% of the population, we have, that would be around, I think, 400,000 to 500,000 people. What's 10% of that? 60,000 people to die.
Yeah.
And they're telling this like to the public. And then you've got,
this is called predictive programming. Yeah. They're preparing us. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Matt Hancock, the UK health minister, who said, I read in the Daily Mail, I think he said that the only way that the measures will not be lifted is if there is a variant which will hit vaccinated people, making them severely ill. So that's preparing.
Yes, it is. Well, Matt Hancock is a very controversial figure, even in England, and he's got to be the worst actor ever. I've seen him in a video where he was pretending to cry because he was so concerned about the deaths, and you could see he's laughing in reality. It's incredible. Yeah, okay, well, no good faith here, not in my view.
Rainer, can I ask a question to Alexis?
Yes,
sure.
Of course.
Alexis, do you know if your government is also assisted by Deloitte in this matter?
No, I haven't looked into that.
Can you check that out, if possible, and let it know to Rainer, please? It would be interesting if in some countries we will check this out.
Oh, we can put you in direct touch. We'll send you an email so that everyone who is on this call, on this live stream will be able to get in touch with each other.
Sure.
It would be interesting to throw it in the group and to let everybody look at this, because imagine that in all countries, Deloitte is sitting on the table with the virologs and the government. That would be an interesting issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. If I have the details, I can look into it as well.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Alexis.
Thanks. That's it. That's all I have from Cyprus for now.
That's a lot. That's very interesting because it tells us again that this, agenda is being approached in lockstep, more or less. Slight variations, but basically they're all trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get us disoriented. They're trying to get rid of the rule of law. And they're trying to make the elected governmental officials to make them into omnipotent emperors.
Yeah.
So that through them, they can further their own agenda. But the most important aspect to understand is they're trying to get rid of the rule of law and they're trying to get rid of democracy.
Yeah.
In my view. Okay.
I don't think they're going to be successful.
I don't
because
I, no way because Jose.
Because we can see that the tide is turning slowly but surely.
Yes.
It's just going to take a little longer than what happened back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Because we even have that Council of Europe decision or investigation, which is a really important document, actually.
Yes.
It has a lot of value for convincing people, you know, that they've tried to do this before. I want to get that in front of a court to show that this has happened before, but now they organized a lot better. You know, we saw that with Event 201. Where they organized on how they would censor everything.
Yeah. If you need any detailed information on what happened then, I can put you in touch with Wolfgang Wodak, because he was a member of the Council of Europe then.
Of course.
Okay.
The only issue I see is that it might not be an issue, but when we're actually lodging these cases, we will need at some point expert witnesses which might be international. Yeah,
we have them.
Are you aware that we have a ruling here from a court, a family court in Weimar? And, you know, this was the first time that actually a court ruled based on evidence. Experts' statements.
I was only aware of the Portuguese decision.
Oh, no, but gosh, because we have also translated into English, and it's a 100-page ruling, and it includes all the expert opinions. So you can really use this on the PCR test, on the dangerousness of the masks, and on the psychological effects on children.
It's a good thing we're connecting, because once again, this makes it possible for us to to put you in a better position to argue your case. You don't have to invent the wheel twice. We have the expert opinions, and we have the experts. They're at the ready.
Right, I have a question. What happened with this case of Weimar? Is there an appeal? And what happened to the judge? Because I hear that they put him in jail for a few hours at least.
No, they didn't. There are a lot of rumors swirling around. They searched his home and his office and his car, and they seized his cell phone and his computer. But he now has an excellent criminal defense attorney, and he's gotten everything back, and it turns out that there's a new decision, a new ruling by an appellate court, which explicitly states that yes, it's the family courts which are responsible for deciding on whether or not children's well-being is in danger. It's not the administrative law courts, because that's what happened here. Behind the scenes, this falls into the responsibility of a member of the Green Party. They're probably the most dangerous, politically, the most dangerous position that we have to watch out for. But what happened is, because the entire world was reading this decision, and it's extremely helpful in many courts of law, including in the United States, they tried to put a lid on this, and they tried to signal to the rest of the world, if any other judge acts in this manner, we're going to put him behind bars. That's why these rumors are swirling around. But they're losing this case because, as I said, an appellate court, not the one that's responsible for this decision, but another appellate court, explicitly stated, no, it's not the administrative law courts in whose responsibility this falls, but it's the family law courts. And this ruling is still there. It has not been overturned.
There is no appeal to the ground of the decision, or there is an appeal at the moment.
No, but it's actually a case where they cannot appeal it. Yeah. Because it's something that the judge decides himself, and this was like a fast track ruling, but when the main case is going to come, it's also going to be the same judge. So basically, they cannot do anything about this.
They can appeal it, but the first measure is to ask for an oral hearing. This was done without an oral hearing, because this was a motion for a preliminary judgment, more or less. It's not really a motion, but something like that. So he issued his order, but they can now appeal it to this very same judge, and then it's going to go up to the appellate court. We don't know what's going to happen then, but in the meantime, there are a number of constitutional challenges, won by one of the most famous constitutional law professors in this country, and I think that's going to help that other case as well. But we'll see.
Also, if it goes to the next level, this case, they would also need to look at expert opinions. Yeah. And that's going to be really hard to get, because there's basically nothing that the other side can bring forward.
It's very, very hard to overturn a judgment that is based on an actual hearing of evidence, of listening to witnesses, or in this case, of looking at expert opinions. Very hard to overturn that. And if it happened, it'll clearly be another sign of lawlessness, because we believe it's next to impossible to overturn this. We've listened to a number of other experts today who explained to us about the dangers of masks and the dangers in particular of the PCR test. This is child molestation on a grand scale, what's happening in the schools with the PCR tests.
these judgments that you have in Germany, are you putting them somewhere on a website that we can find them?
Yeah, we can send you a link. You know, we have this this website with that we basically run with our information. It's called 2020news.de. And in this, we have in English this an article, you know, with the sort of most important points from the ruling. And also the ruling is linked in there as well. We can send you the link so you can find everything.
From this court I have, but others, maybe I don't have them all. I have some of them. I have these things from Bosnia-Herzegovina. I have them from Strasbourg. There's also a very interesting judgment in Strasbourg. I don't know if you know about it.
No, can you send it to us?
A few months old. There is some stuff, you know, the Portuguese, the Rome decision. Mm-hmm. There is also some stuff in Belgium which can be interesting for you. I would be happy to assist you, to send you some of these rulings in Belgium and other countries too.
Yes, please, and do that.
Are you able to follow France?
Yes. Our friend and colleague Jean-Luc Duhamel is pretty much providing us with all the relevant information, we believe. Okay. There's something big going to happen in France, too.
Yes, because we are also following the French side. You know, as Belgians, we are obliged to have to speak two languages, at least. Otherwise, we are hit in school, you know. So we are a connection between the more German speaking and the Latin speaking countries. And if you want to, we will assist you in that.
Okay.
Great.
All right. It's been a long day, but thank you very, very much, Alexis and Michael. We must stay in touch because that's the way to win this. We have to have this international legal community. And maybe in the end, an international corona court. We'll see. Okay.
Okay, so I think we've come to the end of this session. And it's been really crazy again.
Yeah. It's
like really outrageous. Well, but it's good to know all these things. And the picture is becoming more and more clear, I think, you know, because of that it's really lockstep everywhere. The same methods, the same. We don't have anything in our files, you know, silence and all this is really quite telling. Well, yeah, so thanks, everyone. And thank you for watching this. And I think we'll be back soon with another round of international investigation.
Yes. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Thank you.